hope you enjoy this message from Eastside C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
You know, everywhere you go on planet Earth, any place, any culture, you always find these three questions coming up. Who am I? What am I here for? And what was I born to do? And although these may seem very complex questions, the answers are very simple. And they're found in a person. His name is Jesus. And when you connect with him, when you ask him to come into your life and forgive you, a number of amazing things happen. But one of the things that happens to you is that a sense of purpose and destiny comes on the inside of you. I know when I first got saved, I mean, a lot of amazing things happened, but in those ensuing weeks, I began to feel on the inside of me that life wasn't aimless anymore. I wasn't just wandering around this planet, but actually on the inside of me, I felt like, gee, there's just a sense of purpose and destiny. And the Bible says that, Ecclesiastes 3:11, I've got the amplified version here, it says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also planted eternity in men's hearts and minds, a divinely implanted sense of purpose, working through the ages, etc. But a divinely implanted sense of purpose. And when you find Jesus, you find, I don't know what it is, but I feel like there's something for me to do on this planet. I feel like I have a destiny. I feel like I have a purpose. And God plants that in every single one of us. And then we have the amazing journey of finding out what that is. And hopefully not going down too many rabbit trails that end in dead ends before we actually stumble, I'm telling my story, until we actually stumble across what it is I'm meant to do. And sometimes it's just our dumbness because God is not a poor communicator. And so God has a purpose. And he has a plan. You know, we hear this all the time, and I mean, it's annoying because people say, well, God has this plan for my life, and the question is, well, what the heck is it? And I think we'll get to that. So God's got a plan. Now, our go-to verse, everybody loves this verse, if you've been around for 5 minutes, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. I like the amplified here also. I know the thoughts and plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for welfare and peace and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. This was a promise to the Jewish people way back in the day when they were wondering, my gosh, things aren't looking good for us. It doesn't look really good right now. It feels like God is not actually for us. It feels like he's planned something different. It looks like that. And Prophet Jeremiah come along to encourage them that the plans and the thoughts that God has for you right now, no matter what it looks like in your present day circumstances, his end game is it's for good and not for evil. That would be a good place to say something. Now, the Old Testament in the Hebrew language, of course, the word for peace there, welfare and peace, is the word shalom. And the Jewish people use this as a greeting, shalom. It means much more than peace. This is what shalom means. This is a very simple definition. There's much more to this, but it means health, welfare, prosperity. Oh my gosh, we said that word in church. Wholeness, blessing, and every kind of good. Health, welfare, prosperity, wholeness, blessing, and every kind of good. These are the thoughts that God is thinking towards you today. In case somebody told you something different, in case you're thinking something different, in case you got attacked this week and the enemy was telling lies into your brain that God was thinking something different towards you, let me tell you this morning, the prophet Jeremiah said, these are the thoughts that God is thinking toward you this morning. Thoughts of health, thoughts of welfare, thoughts of prosperity, thoughts of wholeness, thoughts of blessing and every kind of good. That's Jesus this morning. And I know it's incredible what Paul said. It's so true. You can feel beaten up all week and you come in here and you get in the presence of God and suddenly those thoughts seem to dissipate and you begin to see clearly again. And it's we're in a war and sometimes we need to recognize that. There is a devil. He does not want what God wants for you. You find yourself in a fight some days. We just keep moving forward, keep turning up, stay true. You'll win every time. So also here's another verse about our purpose. This is a New Living Translation, Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. So even before the foundation of the world, if you can get your head around this, he predestined, saw you, and predestined a life for you. Not predestined in the sense of some controlling thing, but planned an amazing life that if you would actually, you know, connect with him and follow that, you'd walk in it. Amplified again. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship. I love this. Recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, so that we may do those good things which God predestined, planned beforehand for us. Look at this, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Wow. And that's why we need the word of God. We need to continually remind ourselves of these things because some days it doesn't look like that. Some days you're thinking, where's this good thing you promised? But you've got to understand that, you know, life is, we're in a war and there's stuff that God is wanting to deal with sometimes in our lives. But his end game is that, always. And so again, for us to find, we were talking about all in this morning, for us to find that plan and the fullness of it, it requires us to be all in. Someone's, good on you, Luke. Someone's listening. All in. What does all in mean? All in means all in. Surrender would be the Bible word for all in. Matthew 10:39, Jesus speaking. He says, He who finds his life, his own life, will actually lose it. But he who loses his life for my sake will find it. So there's this thing of surrender, of losing your life, your plans, your purposes, your ideas, your stuff, and surrendering into God's plan and purpose. And Jesus says, when you do that, you'll actually find your life. But if you try and do your own thing, your own way, and hang on to it even as a Christian, you'll actually lose it. But the way you find your life, or what Pastor Phil calls your best life, is by actually giving the thing away and surrendering it to the purposes of God so you find this plan, this purpose that he has for us. And it's not a one-off surrender. I mean, I remember when I first became a Christian, I said, Jesus, come into my life, and there was this idea of I'm surrendering my life to you. But you'll do this over and over again. We continue to come, and sometimes the Holy Spirit will come and he'll say, give it to me. And you're like, what are you talking about? And you know what he's talking about. You thought, I thought I'd already done that. He says, give it to me. And this is where we, because there's things that we're trying to hang on to in our life that will hinder us from moving into the fullness of what he has for us. And sometimes we just got to let things go. It might be relationships, it might be things, it might be whatever. Things we're hanging on to, plans we've got. But as we surrender those, and it can be painful in that moment, but on the other side of that dying, there's always a resurrection. You come into this fullness of life out of dying to what you want. And sometimes that can be a real struggle. Acts 2:36, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ, or Lord and Messiah, both, Saviour and Lord. It's one thing to You know, mate, Jesus is the Saviour of the whole world, but we need to make him personally our Saviour. It's a personal thing. And Jesus is certainly Lord of all, but we need to make him Lord of our all. It's a personal response. And it was Catherine Kuhlman, I think, that said, if he is not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. If she didn't say it first, she quoted someone, but I remember her saying that. So again, the Greek language is the New Testament language. And the word for Lord here is this word kurios. It means master, supreme authority, Lord of everything. So we've got to make him Lord of every area. And he's not going to do that unless we allow him. So it becomes personal. I notice sometimes it can be a wrestling with God, but if we're really determined to hang on to that thing, there will come a point where he'll go, okay. He won't wrestle with you forever. But there can be a wrestling until you surrender. And speaking from experience, if you do not surrender that, you go on this journey called round the mountain. And then you come back to that spot again, totally different set of circumstances, some time frame later, and here we are again. And I tell you, I've done that trip several million times. And no, not really. But it feels like, and then you feel like I'm doing okay here, and then it comes up again. And so God gives us plenty of opportunities, but here's the thing, is just learning to surrender our lives to him when it comes. Knowing that on the other side of that, it's awesome. So we need to be all in. Everybody say all in. All in. So he wants to take us from getting saved to a deeper, higher, more powerful Christianity. And that comes by surrender points all along the way. So making him Lord, that means he's in charge of my life, my decisions, my money, my choices, my future. He's in charge of it all. And to equate that with the fact that you have a knowing on the inside of you from the Word of God that whatever he's leading me into, whatever he's requiring me to surrender is for my good, because the plan that he's got for me is a good plan. And so it's just negotiating that and saying, I'm prepared to surrender my life to his purposes. Not my own plans, but his plans. We all have areas we don't want to surrender. I'm trying not to look at anybody when I'm saying this. I look at myself, because we keep them away in these wee, cupboards back here, and I don't think we consciously say it, but we sure hope he doesn't come and put his finger on that. But let me tell you, that day's coming. And he says, give this area to me. And sometimes it's not even a bad thing. I've talked about this before. Sometimes God's requiring you to a path of obedience that everybody else is allowed to do, but he's saying, not for you. Because my plan for you requires you walk a different path. And here's the thing, we compare ourselves with one another sometimes. And we can't really do that, because generally we'll go through the same things, generally. But God's got a specific path, specific plan, tailor-made for you. I'm like, everybody else is doing it, but I require you not to, because of what I'm calling you into. Just learning to be all in all the time. Look, this is an amazing, I've talked about this verse before, this is an amazing verse that blows me away, Hebrews 5:8. Even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience through the things he suffered. You're like, what? Jesus? Yeah, he had to learn obedience through the things he suffered. So Jesus would have not only just suffered on the cross, there would have been decision points all along his life where he had to decide, am I going to follow the will of God? Am I going to not? Hard things. And he chose obedience, but he learned it through suffering. And then culminating in, of course, in Gethsemane, where he's facing this decision. Shall I go to the cross or shall I not? And he's wrestling with that suffering. And then he says, I let it go. Not my will, but your will be done. Surrenders to the cross. Incredible. And so when you lose your life, you actually find it. And that's the secret to happiness and joy in this life I've put here, is when you actually let go. You meet people that are hanging on to things, just hanging on. Just let it go. Let it go. It'll hurt for a moment, but you'll be far better off when you just surrender. Let it go. And I think the thing too is in that whole comparison thing, you looking at other people, what's happening with them. They're getting blessed. Seems like favor's on them. It seems like this is their day. And here I am over here and all the stuff that I'm praying for, been believing for way longer than them, in my own thinking. You know, why isn't this happening for me? And you can begin to become discouraged. But again, it's saying, okay, Lord, you're in charge of all this deal. I'm surrendering all of this to you. In fact, there's a verse that says in the Psalms somewhere, David says, the times of my life are in your hands. So the timing for your thing may not be the timing for another person's thing. You know, we want it now. We want the breakthrough next week. We do. And it's great to keep that faith switch on. But again, in the context of a surrendered life. John 10:10. Okay, my go-to life verse, love it. The thief, which is the devil and the curse and every bad thing happening on this planet. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I, Jesus says, have come that they may have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Wow. It's a wonderful verse. And here's the thing, on the day when he says this, the people that he's talking to, they're already alive. So he says, I've come that they might have life. He's not talking about the life that they were now living. He's talking about a different kind of life, a higher quality of life, a superior life. And again, our go-to language for the New Testament is Greek. As we look back and study, sometimes we just get a bit of the English translation is beautiful. English is a great language. But sometimes as we go back and study the original, we get a little bit of insight. The word here for life that I've highlighted in yellow is the Greek word zoe. And there's two words for life. There's one called bios, which is where we get our word biology from, which he's okay. I just get louder, you know. And so where we get our word biology from, which is life, plant life, human life, all kind of life. But zoe, it means God's life or the God kind of life or the life God wants you to have. So it's a higher form of life, a superior form of life. And Jesus says, I've come that you might have that kind of life, the best life you could ever have. But it only comes as you surrender your old one and make an exchange for this new life, this abundant life that Jesus promised in every area. The old Ezekiel 47, you know, the river of God. And there's some people, you know, they're standing on the bank, they haven't even got in yet. There's other people, they're kind of up to their ankles, and it's this progressive thing of, but some people are in the middle of the river and they've abandoned themselves, they're all in. God wants us to progressively move toward that where we become completely surrendered to his purposes. Where we find the best life we could ever have, that life. And that life is all about, you kind of find that and you find your destiny through this thing called servanthood. Because your best life is when you serve somebody else. Your best life is when you help somebody else. Your best life is, we call it the blessed to be a blessing life. That you, the blessing is on you so that you can be a blessing, so that you can serve. And so the Bible gives an analogy of the church as a body. One of the analogies. And he says, you guys, all of us, we're all members fitted together in the body. And each one has its part. And so we are all members of this body, many intricate parts. But here's what we want. We want every single person to become an active member. every person to become an engaged member. Every person to become a connected member. Not just someone that attends church on Sunday, but someone that becomes the church, connected and serving in the house of God. It's awesome. And I know I'm preaching mainly to the choir here, but we want everybody to find their place. And listen, when you begin to serve in the house of God, in church, find a job, find a thing to do where you're serving the vision of the house and you're serving there, you find life in that. You find that great life that and you begin to travel towards your purpose and your destiny by serving. That's how you find it. I remember way back in the Brighton Christian Centre days, like, this is not to make me sound like a hero, but, you know, I am one, but, you know. But I remember we got saved and we were so excited. We had this sense of destiny on the inside. And I remember they said, oh, you know, we want a roster for cleaning the church. And I was just like, yeah, I'm in for that. And I used to love it. I'd get in there when nobody was around and I'd get the vacuum cleaner out and I'd be vacuuming the church. And then there'd be nobody around, and we had a fixed pulpit up on the stage, and I'd sneak around and I'd get up there like that, and I'd stand there and I'd go, wow, feel like I want to do this, feel like one day I'm going to do this. I felt that on the inside of me, and I'd preach these sermons to the back wall, you know, all the time while I'm doing the vacuuming. See, listen, it's like, and we have people coming in. Nobody here, but we have people coming in, they're all full of themselves, they're all grandiose, they want the top job, they want to do this, they want to prophesy, they want to preach, they want to do all this stuff. And it's like, that's not where you start out, you know, you just come with a servant heart, and as you serve, God sees that, and favour and honour comes upon you, and you begin to be, you find your purpose, you find your destiny through being a servant in the house of the Lord. And so we want that. We want every person to be connected in and find a job, a passion, a purpose. And, you know, it may not be your thing to work in the children's church. But the Bible says whatever your hand finds to do, go do it. So come on, just say, hey, listen, I'm all in. Everybody say all in. Whatever I find I'm going to do, I just want to help out, I want to serve. It might be on the worship team, it might be on the greeters on the door, it might be on the children's church, it might be on Spark, says Sue. I've put my hand up for Ignite, you know, so it's not really my thing, or it kind of is. I kind of like getting in there with the kids a wee bit, but don't tell Ellen all that, she'll put me on every week. But you know, if we're not serving in the house, let's find a job, because your life will get better, I promise you. You'll feel that quality of life beginning to rise on the inside. You'll find yourself connected into this body at a greater level than you are now, and you'll be all in, and in that, when you're planted in the house, God is able to shape you, move you towards the destiny, the fulfillment, the thing that you may have in your heart that's way bigger than where you are right now. Awesome. Ben, could you join me, please? This is the abundant life that Jesus talked about. And listen, I've got here, I've put the discovery of that serving nature. The discovery of that serving nature is one of the greatest moments in your life. Because as you've in serving, as I've said, you will find your purpose. You will find your destiny. Serving in the house of God. It's awesome. So not just being a casual attender, but being connected in as part of the body. Amen? Amen. And so this is the abundant life that Jesus talked about, to surrender to his purposes and to find yourself serving in the house of God. Get those two things lined up and watch what's going to happen in your life as God propels you into the amazing destiny he has.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.